Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome. This is the Passion Entrepreneur, Ken Brown, the Passion Entrepreneur, your Chief Profitability Officer, your Sales and Profit Evangelist, if you will. Thank you for listening in. What we do at E3C, we show you how to maximize your profits and business opportunities. We teach you the best practices for profitability and share with you new ideas and strategies to take your business to the next level. We want you to listen, learn, very important, enjoy, also important, and share this with a business associate or friend. Thank you for listening in. E3C, it's all about entrepreneurship, empowerment, and evolution. That's what the three E's stands for. And the C stands for connect, collaborate, and create. Could be three C's, but I make it one. Don't want to complicate things. So welcome, everybody. Today, we're going to talk about art. Art as an investment. What's beauty got to do with it? Is it all about the dollars? Is it all about investment? Is it about the aesthetic art, the thrill of having nice art in your home and in your office? So we're going to talk with Jerry Thomas, Jr. He is a private art dealer and consultant, and his expertise is African and African-American art. He's going to share his insights. He's been featured in broadcast network television and written media, American Art, Los Angeles Times, Business Week magazine, the London Stock Exchange. Oh, that's really good. He gets to go overseas every now and then. You can also check out his website at www.jerrythomasarts.com. That's www.jerrythomasarts.com. So, Jerry, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Ken.
All right. Now, I understand you're a recovering attorney, and now you have a business in art. How did you get started?
That's a good question. I'm oftentimes asked how I made the transition. During the latter part of my practicing law, I found myself doing deals involving hundreds of thousands and even multi-million dollar deals involving African-American art. And that's when I learned that there was a lot of commerce involving African-American art. And unfortunately, I also realized that on the business professional side of the table, there was nobody else of African descent. I was almost always the only African-American at the business side of the table.
Wow, this is very interesting. So in art can be a business. You can make money from it.
Oh, it's a multi-billion dollar industry in this country alone, and that's not even including the international sales. It's a huge market, and it's one that's growing at a very rapid clip. And especially in a down economy, a number of people, and especially wealthy individuals, tend to diversify by collecting more investment quality art.
All right. We're talking with Jerry Thomas of Jerry Thomas Arts. The call-in line is 646-716-7099. That's 646-716-7099. We actually have a caller. I might want to bring this person in after ask the maybe one or two other questions, so caller, hang on. So what is art? Let's define art first before we go a little bit deep into what art, what beauty has to do with art.
Well,
so what is art?
Okay, fundamentally, visual art is an expression in a material form. The artist is expressing himself, and it can be through a wide range of materials, from paper to canvas to sculpture to even found objects. But the key is that it's an artist expressing his or herself in a visual material medium.
Okay, so we define what art is. So it's very important. You have to do the basics and define what art is. But so how do you value art? How does one take a look at a piece of art and say, yeah, that's worth something?
Well, I mean, going to the very core of our conversation today, and one that is oftentimes of great interest to people, I find that it's a very complex notion that very few people really understand. And as you're aware, I wrote the article entitled, What's Beauty Got to Do with It, Art as an Investment? And the reason I entitle it, What's Beauty Got to Do with It, you know, obviously it's a takeoff from the song by Tina Turner, What's Love Got to Do with It? In the same way that with love, and I think that with love she was primarily referring to superficial notions of love or lust has very little to do with, you know, the actual relationship.
Mm-hmm.
The same is true with art. We are oftentimes led to believe that, we oftentimes hear that beauty is a criteria by which we judge art. What we tend not to know is that the way beauty is used in the art community has very little to do with how good-looking or how attractive something is or how pretty something is. And I think that's the way the average person interprets beauty. In the art community, in the acknowledged art world, beauty is a complex notion that involves, you know, criteria, involves art history, it involves an evolved set of aesthetics in terms of what types of material are effective in conveying. I mean, you can go from expressionist art to assemblages, which essentially involve found objects. All of that can involve notion, but very different types of notion. And you can look at particular genres of art, or you can look at different periods of art, and you can see that notions of beauty can change, and that can also impact on the value, because something that would have great value if it were made in the 19th century, if that something very similar were made in the 21st century, it would have little or no value. But it was significant. It was cutting edge. It was a new or more powerful way for expressing expression during that period, and that's what made it important. So you can have the two identical-looking works of art, but if one was cutting edge and pushing the envelope at the time that it was made, it would tend to have far more value than the same or comparable piece if it were duplicated, you know, 100, 200, or even 5 years later.
Okay, I have another question. They say that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. What would you say is the value of art? Is the value of art in the eye of the beholder? It all depends on who's looking at the art.
Well, there is some truth to it. Our notions of beauty, first and foremost, is a function of what we've been exposed to that helps inform or determine what we consider to be beauty. But as it relates to art in particular, beauty involves what your art professionals, your major art institutions, and your major collectors. It's a delicate dance among them, as well as the art critics and the scholars and the curators and art historians, in terms of what they say is beautiful. So this, in the, I guess the distinction that we need to make as it relates to investment quality art is beauty can be a very personal thing, because I cannot tell a person what is beautiful to he or she. That's a very personal determination. But if you're looking at art in terms of its significance or investment value, it's no longer a personal matter. It involves a number of variables and a number of other players that inform that decision of what constitutes beauty.
Now, your expertise is in African and African-American art. And when I think about the value, how do whites, Hispanic, Latino, even Asian people value art? Is it, do they value art in different ways? How do they value African-American and African art?
Okay.
Do they see the value in it?
Well,
what's your opinion of that?
You know, let me start off by saying that my primary expertise is in African-American art, with an emphasis on the African-American art, but it's not limited to that. To be truly informed, it's important that I know Western art history, Western notions, because the dominant art community is controlled by American and European notions of what art is. And what constitutes value historically. And that's one of the things that's beginning to change. It's beginning to open up. Historically, it's just been the European and European-informed art, such as, you know, many forms of American art. But it's broadening up to include art from other cultures.
Okay.
To answer your question in terms of how other groups view art, essentially, the criteria are the same, but the way each culture interprets or implements those criteria can be very different. And that's why it's, and this is part of that evolving process of art becoming more inclusive. They have been very slow in opening it up to acknowledge that there's value to other cultures and not just to Western or European notions. But nonetheless, you can break it down to criteria such as technical proficiency, you know, what the artist is saying, and then how effective the artist is saying, expressing his or herself, and then the visual impact. And there is subjectivity in how those criteria are applied, but it is important to at least have criteria by which to judge the art.
Okay, we have a caller, and let me ask one more question because it's a basic question that I want to get your answer to. There's different. What are the different types of art? And then I'll bring on our caller and see if he has a question for you.
Okay, when you say different types of art, there are a number of different groupings, and I oftentimes get in trouble making those distinctions. So
okay.
I'm going to hold you accountable for any flack that I get on this.
All right, this is just a conversation between you and I. Nobody else is listening, right?
Okay. just me, you, and the rest of the world.
This is just the internet. It's okay.
Right. there is the commercial art, and the commercial art is, usually, artists with good to very good technical ability, the ability to draw, the ability to paint, the ability to sculpt, and they typically use those skills to identify a market and create art, works of art that they feel that market is looking for, would buy, would embrace. That's the more commercial art. The art that tends to be more significant, and it's a much harder road, is the art that's expressive of the particular artist, the particular individual. So they're not looking to the masses in terms of what they want. They are expressing something that they feel is important or is of interest. And it can be an idea, it can be a concept, it can be a feeling, it can be any combination of things. And then it's up to the significant art community, which involves your art historians, your culture, your critics, your main collectors, in terms of whether they accept what that artist is expressing. And if they accept it, they'll say it's good. If not, it'll be rejected. If they accept it consistently, then that's the type of reputation, that's the type of background that tends to lead to investment quality art.
Okay, because when I think of different types of art, I think of sculptures, I think of paintings, maybe print paintings, and that's.
So you're thinking about the medium.
Okay.
Okay, and there can be all types of medium, and there can be there's commercial. There's investment quality art in practically all mediums. So the medium has very little to do with it. You can have a work on paper that is valued more than a canvas or a sculpture made out of marble, even though the materials, you know, may be more valuable than the marble. The work itself may be more valuable because of some of those other criteria, you know, what the artist is saying, how effectively they say, and the reputation of that artist in the established community. So, you know, what I always try to encourage people to do is to determine what medium, you know, what aesthetics appeal to them, and then purchase art in that category. Now, many people will grow beyond their initial interest, but start with what you like. You should all, I feel that, with the exception of a very small group of people who collect art, buy art simply as an investment, and I generally recommend against that, because why buy it just as an investment when you could also have something that you enjoy and enrich your life as well as your financial statement?
Okay, we're talking with Jerry Thomas of Jerry Thomas Arts. You can check out his website at www.jerrythomasarts.com. The call line is 646-716-7099. That's 646-716-7099. Jerry, would you like to take a caller?
Sure.
Okay, we'll bring this caller in. The caller, the last four digits is 2673. That's 2673, and we'll bring you on. Welcome to the program. You have a question for Jerry Thomas, and what's your name and where are you calling from? Hello? Hello? Come in. Don't be shy. I guess they're just listening. Do you have a question for us? If not, okay, I'll put you back on mute. Okay, I have another question for you, Jerry. Let's get into this art as an investment. Now, my former background is a certified financial planner, and the classic way is that you buy low and you sell high. And you made a comment about art being, shouldn't be just an investment. So can you really make money? Can art really be an investment?
Yes, I think that any asset that has the potential for appreciating can be deemed an investment. And art has been a significant investment. You know, not only in this country, but around the world for a number of years. So absolutely, yes. And one of the things that I've learned is that, you know, wealthy individuals tend to have in their portfolios 10 to 15% of their overall portfolio, investment portfolio, falls in the category of art.
Yeah, you're reading my mind, because that was like the next question I was going to ask you. How does this figure in an investment portfolio? Because you got to have balance and diversity. Interesting. Okay. So investment-grade art. Let's talk about that. And then I really want to talk about related to the day and the economy and so forth. So your expertise is in investment-grade art. Let's talk about that. What is investment-grade art?
Investment-grade art is art that has a high likelihood and typically a track record that of growth and appreciation in the value. One of the distinctions that I always like to make is there's a difference between price and value. Mm-hmm. Anyone can put a price on a work of art, but that doesn't mean that
and think they're going to make a sale from that.
Right. And sometimes they do, because when uninformed collectors are purchasers, I've seen them spend $5,000-$10,000 on art that, in my mind and based on my experience, would have a value of only a fraction of that.
Wow! And you're an art advisor and also a dealer, so that you bring some added value. So you've seen some people that paid a little bit too much for their art. I take it.
I've seen people who paid a lot too much, and in addition to that, there are many people who really don't understand that there's a difference between, you know, investment grade art and the more commercial art. Now, there can be commercial art that's investment grade, but that is fairly rare and unusual. So it's really important, unless you have the expertise yourself, to seek out someone who has expertise to help you make those decisions, because the salesperson, whether it be the artist themselves or a gallerist or another broker, if they do not have your best interests at heart, they can tell you anything, and you don't have the context or perspective by which to determine the credibility of what they're saying.
Okay, so we're talking about art as an investment. Let's get to the point of return on investment. Can it offer a great return? And what kinds of success stories or just maybe one that you can share with us that where somebody bought something and increased in value and they sold it, did they keep it? How's that work? So is it really good return on investment?
Yeah, that happens on a regular basis. Now, one of the things that is different about art typically is that you do not get a return in a steady projected way, the same that you may, you know, in the housing market before it started to collapse, or, you know, the stock market before that it started to collapse. Mm-hmm. Also, it typically takes a much longer time. But as it relates to African-American art, it has been so dramatically undervalued for the last 100 years, and the cap is just coming off of the bottle, that even though many other forms of art may be showing drops in their prices, African-American art has been continually appreciating it in a fairly rapid clip. It's almost akin to the stock market in the 90s. You could just throw a dart and hit any stock, and if it was a significant stock, you knew it was going to appreciate. The same is true with the investment-grade quality, the more expressive art. It's hard to go wrong, but there's some that will have much better returns than others. And you had asked me about a specific example. Let's take the art of Romare Bearden. For many years, people would only deal with it privately, sell and buy it privately, as opposed to on the stock market, the auction houses, because the prices were so low. Since the show organized by the National Gallery of Art of Romare Bearden, which was the first show organized by the National Gallery of Art of an African-American artist in 2003, his prices have just dramatically escalated. I have prints, and the prints that I have are not reproductions. They are true prints, oftentimes referred to as multiple originals. At the time that they hit the street in 1979, they were sold for $350 each. 5 years ago, 2003, which was right around the time of the Bearden exhibition by the National Gallery of Art, which traveled around the country, those same prints were approximately $4,000 to $5,000. Received an appraisal last year. Those prints are now between $8,000 and $10,000 each. So you see that there's been a pretty dramatic increase. As a matter of fact, it's generally recommended that people reappraise their art portfolios every 5 to 7 years. African-American art, significant African-American art, is appreciating at such a rapid clip. Many appraisers are recommending that they be appraised every 2 or 3 years.
So who's buying the art? Is it just people of color?
When people of color purchase investment-grade African-American art, that is exception rather than the rule. Most of the people who are making and driving this market are people outside of the African-American community. A couple of years ago, in 2006, I was quoted in an article in Business Week entitled Art Blackberry Treasure, and it talked about the number of majority investors who were beginning to invest in African American markets, and their reason being they can invest and get some of the best African American art for the fraction of the cost they would have to buy mediocre art by members of the majority, and the African American art was appreciating at a much faster clip. So it just made basic economic sense to do so.
That's the classic goal is buy low, sell high. In art world, it's such in music and entertainment, there are artists that are hot, right? So who's hot right now, or is there a way that you can determine whose art will appreciate over time?
Well, that's a good question, and they're really two very different questions: who's hot and whose art will appreciate. Many times people are falsely led to the conclusion that just because an artist is hot, that's the artist whose work to buy because, it's going to be, a great investment. Well, oftentimes you can't see the trees for the forest, or can't see the forest for the trees, I guess the expression is, because there are a lot of hot artists who are simply fads. They will not develop the long-term following. They will not have the critical acclaim and recognition. They will not be embraced by a critical mass of the important collectors or important institutions. So that's the area where you can possibly realize the greatest gain with contemporary artists, but it's also the longest shot because it's hard to see the forest in terms of, unless you really know and have the ability to analyze the works and where the art world is going, the trends in the art world, how these particular artists, how they, in the context of those trends, how they measure up, and who will be collecting them. I mean, and it ultimately becomes a political and economic determination in terms of which ones will make it through the maze and come out as truly investment quality art.
Now, I think of art being an investment and being, in fact, a business. The artists that become successful or their art increases in value, is that due to the marketability of the artist and how the artist promotes their art, or is it just the aesthetic beauty of the value of the art? And you may not be able to answer that question, but I just thought, maybe it's like Will Smith. He promotes himself, and he, you see him in different walks. He's a rapper and artist, and so is it his value because he promotes his art, or does others see value in that and what people do?
Well, if it relates to art as an investment, I would like to think that I can answer the question overwhelmingly. Majority of the time, if I can't, I will find the answer. And to answer your question, marketing is always a factor, because you can have the greatest art in the world. If nobody knows about it, then you're not going to have the demand for it, and you're not going to have those increasing prices. But where it gets tricky and where you need the expertise is there's good art that's marketed and there's not so good art that's marketed. You need your professionals to help you to discern which art has the greatest merit, which art has the greatest likelihood. So the more substance that the artists have, the more there is for the scholars and critics to say about the art, the more it informs the public, the more cutting edge it is in a significant way. All those things go to the value of the art. And by pushing it out through marketing so that large numbers of people know about the significance of art, it's that combination that really results in the increased price and valuation of the art.
I see. So you have to have both going on. You got to be a talented artist, but you also have to promote yourself.
Right.
All right. We're running out of time, but in another question, I think about relative to today, some challenging times in the economy, is art a good investment in a down economy?
Oh, as many people consider it to be the preferred way, because it tends not to have a one-to-one relationship. As the economy goes up, prices go up. And so when the economy is going down, art is one of the better investments to go into, since it's not affected in a direct way by the downturns of the economy. And as long as you have the values going up, and one of the things and that applies specifically to African-American art, not historically, it's been limited to the American market, and it's the American economy and market which is, you know, suffering the most right now. But with African-American art, not only is it rapidly accelerating in terms of prices in this economy, there's increasingly demand in the international markets for African-American art.
And what countries?
Well, Japan has always had an appetite for African-American culture, but have not had traditional means for accessing it, and now they increasingly have access to it. In Europe, as you know, many African-American artists, musicians, and other performing artists have gone to the Europe because they were more widely accepted.
Mm-hmm.
The same has been true for visual artists also. I mean, Bearden went to Europe for a while. I represent a very significant artist, Sam Middleton. And case in point, he was born in Harlem, but has lived in Holland for the last 45 years. And
oh, wow.
And he's a very celebrated artist over there, but I'm the first American agent that he's allowed to represent his art in this country. So his art is really hot in this country. And then when you couple that with the fact that the euro is really it's a real
increase in value versus
versus
dollar.
The dollar,
yeah,
that's causing his art to go up even faster.
Mm-hmm.
So one way you can hedge against the loss of value in the American dollar is by investing in an artist such as Sam Middleton, whose work is based in Europe, and with the euro going up, and he's a master on top of that. So I mean, those are the types of considerations you look to in determining, you know, what is investment quality art.
And what are some of the artists that would give one? You mentioned Bearden. What other artists would be offer a good return on investment?
I mean, there's so many, and it depends on, you know, what medium, what style, you know, how much money you have. But you know, in preparation for this interview, I went through some materials, and one area is self-taught art, and very few African Americans collect it because it tends not to be as refined from a technical vantage point. But to read from an article that was in Art and Antiques International, it says, "This art," referring to self-taught art, "is the new truth because it is made outside of traditional art historical continuum. It has a raw power and universal appeal." And so you have artists such as Thorndahl and Lonnie Holly and Purvis Young, but then you also have the celebrated Jeez Ben Quilters, who took the world by storm a few years ago, travel around the country, rave reviews, you know, crowds, you know, to get in to see the exhibition. They were even put on the U.S. postage stamp last year. And again, when you look at significant quilts, And let me add that the primary art critic for the New York Times, in reference to the Jeez Ben Quilters, said these quilts, which are normally considered craft and not fine art, is not only fine art, but he said it was among the best abstract art ever produced in this country. And again, when you look at, you know, what constitutes investment potential, when you look at that, you look at the small number of quilts that can be created because they're so labor intensive, and the age of most of the quilters, you know, I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that it's already gotten the recognition. The demand is high. The supply is relatively low. It's going to be a great investment in future years.
Just like oil and gas now. I guess the one that we've pretty much run out of time, but when we talk about investment-grade art, how much money are we talking about, the minimum purchase?
Well,
how affordable is it?
I mean, there probably is no minimum purchase. It's rare that you're going to get anything in investment quality under $500, but it's possible.
Okay.
But what I tell people, the less money you have, the more you need to know for it to have investment potential. If you have $100,000, then you can go and buy a Bearden or a number of other, a Tanner, a number of artists who already have a track record. It's like a blue stock chip, a blue chip stock. It already has a track record. You know that it's going to continue to appreciate. Whereas if you don't have the big bucks, then you have to learn as much as you can about art or go to sources that know about art and buy art that you deem to be significant, and then you, with the hope that the art world will later recognize what you've already found in your research to be significant or that would make this art significant and valuable in the future.
So is art kind of like real estate in some ways that you don't?
Well, I would venture to say yes. I'm trying to figure out exactly in what specific way.
I was thinking about real estate. They're not making any more real estate, but they are producing more art.
Yeah, every work of art is unique. So they're making more art, but not art that would – it won't be identical. And you have to look at the crossroads in terms of where the art community is going, what is significant during that particular period, and who are creating the best examples of that work during that particular period.
All right. So you're a advisor, art advisor, and you're also a dealer. What is an art advisor? What does that person do? And then compare that to what does the dealer do? And we'll conclude our conversation.
I can generate income as a living by simply, if someone comes to me and want me to give them general information or give them direction, help them identify based on whatever their budget, whatever their taste, or whatever they're trying to achieve, direct them to the best art. It can be as a category or actually find the art for them.
And that's what a dealer does?
That's what an advisor would do. An art dealer, and which is related to being an art broker, which I'm also an art broker, I will bring the inventory to them because I have specific inventory, and I will sell from that inventory. As a broker, I may or may not have the inventory, but if client says that I want a period, you know, early 1900s abstract art, and it may even be specific in terms of the specific medium, what are the best examples of that work that I can buy that has the highest likelihood or has a significant likelihood of appreciating in the future? Which ones do you expect over the next 2, 3, 5 years to get recognition? And one of the things, you know, as part of what I do is know which artists are in line to have significant exhibitions and which museums. All those things play a role in making an informed opinion in terms of the likelihood of the art appreciating in a significant way.
All right, we've been talking with Jerry Thomas at Jerry Thomas Arts. You can check out his website at www.jerrythomasarts.com. So, Jerry, what makes your business, what makes you unique in this art business? Why should somebody invest or work with you?
Well, there aren't many people who consistently deal with the investment museum quality African-American art. I'm one of those persons. And then we can take it even further, the number of people who have both the legal experience, I practiced law for 20 years, and that was my professional entree into the arts, representing clients in a business capacity. So I had the business legal background, and based on my, again, training in economics and what have you, the ability to project and the trends, and that's when the air becomes very rarefied. You have a few people who can look at what's happening now, but and only a few people have a sufficient grasp and know which variables to look at and where to go and get that information. But then the ability to project in terms of what is going to be the case or likely to be the case, you know, in 2 years, in 5 years, in 10 years, that is something that's pretty unique. And those are the types of things that I was quoted on in both Business Week and in the London Exchange publications, extrapolations in terms of where the art market for African-American art is likely to go over the next several years.
All right, so we're
and it helped to help the eye too.
Oh, okay. We're speaking with Jerry Thomas, Jerry Thomas Arts. You check out his website www.jerrythomasarts.com. Jerry, thank you so very much for being on the program. Really, I learned a lot. This is fascinating stuff.
Well, and but I'd like to add that my website is www.jerrythomasarts, and arts has an S on the end, arts.com.
Okay, all right then. And so we've had a great conversation. What would you want us to, what would you want to emphasize or summarize about our interview that we just
completed? Well, hopefully I've shared enough information to motivate more people to look at art, you know, not just as decoration, although it can have a wonderful decorative and aesthetic, you know, appeal and value, but in terms of its significance, and we didn't talk about the cultural significance today, that's something else we can talk about. But the investment part, I mean, it's one of the African-American art is one of the fastest appreciating sectors of the American art market. And right now, just a small number of people are taking advantage of those. Those are the insiders and that small number of serious collectors. But everyone can be. They just need to take the initiative. Well, realize that there is a difference between the investment and non-investment grade art, and then to take the steps so that you can acquire it, you can enjoy it, and have something that will enhance your financial statement also.
All right, then. Thank you so very much, Jerry. Jerry Thomas Arts with an S at the end, .com. All right, then. Thank you very much, Jerry. So that is the show. My question to you is, what have you learned today? How will you apply it? And what action steps will you implement to improve your business and increase your profitability by investment-grade art? Give Jerry a call. Check out his website, www.jerrythomasarts.com.
And Kenneth, if I for a moment can give my telephone number also.
Yeah, okay, certainly. Go ahead.
The telephone number is 404-577-2666. That's 404-577-2666.
All right, then. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you so very much. That is the show. Dare to be great, be remarkable, be extraordinary. Above all, stay profitable and make that sale. Until next time, take care. We'll be right back.